Hi, I'm Connie Albers, and you are listening to Equipped to Be. If you are like most parents, you want your children to be well-rounded. You want them to know how to be successful in adult life, but they're just little kids right now. Maybe they're toddlers or elementary school. Maybe they're tweens or teens. The point of wanting our children to be successful in adult life really kind of boils down to what I call the five C's. And I want to dive into that in this episode of Equipped to Be, because I believe that it is crucial for nurturing children as individuals as we conquer these particular topics. And that is self-control, compassion, collaboration, consistency, and of celebration. See, these are not just important in our childhood, or that we lay the foundation for our kids so that they have a meaningful life, but what we want to do is teach our children how to have these five characteristics. And I believe the reason they're so important is they're not being taught in a classroom. They're not being taught in the community by and large. We see chaos running rampant. We see children who do not know how to have self-control. They have breakdowns and meltdowns and all manner of moodiness. We see children that have a lack of compassion. I will watch kids on the playground and literally I'll just watch them go over and not be kind. Compassion is a kindness attribute. We want our kids to be able to collaborate, to work with others. That is an essential key to having success in adult life. And actually more than just success, and I'm not talking about financial here, I'm talking about straight up success relationally, emotionally, mentally, physically, all areas. We have to work with others. And mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, it's up to us to help our kids learn how to get along, how to collaborate with other people, how to embrace, and I've done this topic before, how to embrace the yes and mindset, the expansionist mindset. I probably won't go into much of that, but I'll do a future podcast on that for you because I think it's key. I speak about this topic often when we're talking about collaboration and creativity. We also want our kids to develop the ability to be consistent. And the consistency sometimes begins with us because we're not going to see it in society. One day, our kids are being fed a message that is one way, and the next day it can be totally changed and nobody told you that the rules changed. But consistency is key. Just like self-control, I mean, we want our children to govern themselves and be full of compassion, have the ability to collaborate and be consistent. And then we want to celebrate. Oftentimes, this one gets forgotten, that we celebrate others' victories, successes. We champion them. We encourage them by our words, some will say of affirmation, by those words. And if you've read Parenting Beyond the Rules, that is the book that I wrote, Raising Teens with Confidence and Joy, you know that I talk in Monitoring Your Mouth about the importance of affirmation and the importance of being a cheerleader for your kids. So as we dive more into this topic of the five C's of parenting our kids and helping our children be successful in adult life, I think you're going to enjoy listening to the specific values. So take notes. Get ready. We're going to dive in and go as far as we can in our short amount of time. But as always, before we dive in, I want to say thank you. We have crossed another major milestone at Equipped to Be. We have hundreds of thousands of downloads, people who listen to this show. And one thing that I fail to do, and my show producer and others often tell me to do this, is talk about what you can do to help promote the show. Algorithms, as you've heard, they're constantly changing. Platforms are changing, all the social platforms, but podcast platforms are changing as well. They'll downgrade you. They'll cause others not to listen to you. And so I have a request for you. If you enjoy listening to Equipped to Be, would you kindly leave a rating, give us a review and a rating? It doesn't take long. And you can actually copy and paste and put it on all the platforms that host podcasts. We're on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. All the places that you can listen to the podcast is where you will find me, Connie Albers, at Equipped to Be. And I would really appreciate that. A lot of times I leave this to the very end and people are in a hurry and you've got to run out and get the kids, or the kids hop in the car from being picked up in the school line. And so you don't always hear my request, but I am so grateful you're here. I want this episode to be a blessing to you. as I am now doing this again with supporting my kids in their parenting journeys, and I am helping to foster these exact same C's in my grandkids' lives. I did it with my children, and now I get to do it again. I have found a new meaning in Deuteronomy where you teach your children and your children's children. It is our job. It is our job to be actively involved in teaching our children's children the way they should go. And so that's why this topic is so important. It doesn't matter what age. If you're around children, these are the things you need to be helping to build into, the characteristics you need to help build into their lives. So let's start with self-control. You know, self-control is like a muscle. It needs regular exercise in order for it to grow stronger. You can't work out one day a week and expect any real development or change in your physique, right? Or in your behavior. So we have to start by helping our children identify their emotions. That is everywhere right now. Helping your kids manage their emotions, deal with big emotions, express themselves. And it's really true. The more you can give your children the tools to communicate what's going on, how they're thinking, and how they're feeling. Now, I want to be careful on the whole how you're feeling, because I feel, here we go, that we've become a nation where it's all about feelings. It's not all about feelings, but feelings aren't irrelevant. So think about that for a minute. Your feelings matter, but your feelings aren't always right. And so when we're helping our children, we want to acknowledge that they may be mad. They may be upset. They may not like what you're doing. They may want something you won't let them have, or they may not want what you want them to have. Either way, the converse is true, right? But the truth is, they can give words or voice or expression to how they feel as long as they understand feelings are fleeting. That's why it's so important when our children are little that we use distraction techniques. It's diversion, distraction. You take a toy away, you give them another toy. You walk them into a different place. You remove them from the area like the grocery store where it's notorious for kids to have meltdowns because they want a specific candy and you say no and they have a temper tantrum and you buy it for them and they win. Well, there's an easier way about doing this, but it does require practice. Just like a muscle. When we go work out, if we're going to be walkers, runners, weightlifters, if we're going to do exercise classes, piano, whatever it is, we got to practice and we have to, like a muscle, work it consistently. And I'll go into consistency here in a couple of other points, but encourage our kids to take some deep breaths. It's okay to be upset. That's fine. It's what you do with those feelings. That's the area we most want to focus on when talking about self-control, taking some deep breaths and teach them to hold it for a second and then breathe it out. That might sound wonky, but it works. It works for me. It works for you. It works for anyone. When they're in a situation that isn't going their way or they don't like, just pausing and taking a couple of deep breaths, holding it and letting out. That simple technique helps the body system to just relax because it's pretty tightened. It's pretty wound up and frustrated and the tension is there. But that act causes them to calm down and relax at any age. That's what you need to understand. Encourage them when they pause to think about what it is they want to say instead of just lashing out. I've seen so many kids, because I work with kids all the time, and I'm out on the road speaking. And speaking of that, if you have an event and you are looking for a speaker, a keynote speaker, somebody to come to your church or your school or your conference, just let me know, because we would love to come and join you and equip you in this journey of parenting and motherhood and faith. So just let us know. But when you encourage your kids to pause and think before they react, it causes them to have that brief moment of choice. Do I kick the couch? Do I kick the ottoman? Do I throw my toy? Do I fall down onto the ground wailing and flapping around? It gives them a minute. You're giving them a tool that they will use. Do I say something I might regret because I reacted? So teaching our children to take a deep breath, teaching our children to express their feelings without the behavior associated with being mad or angry. You get angry, you can't hit somebody or bite somebody or throw something. You know, you can't toss your plate because you're mad. You didn't get the food that you wanted. See, when we encourage them to pause and think before reacting, it comes from us modeling this. Oh, this isn't my favorite hamburger. This isn't my favorite whatever it is. This isn't my favorite thing to do. I don't like washing dishes, but everybody likes to eat off of clean plates. Therefore, I will wash the dishes. Why? Because I love you. Because that is how we model self-control in all manner of life. We're having a bad day. We're running late. We have to exhibit self-control. When your children see you model it, they start to mirror it. You model it, they mirror it. Keep that in mind. And also remember, it's not about perfection. It's about progress. Your kids aren't always going to get it right. And I bet there are many times, if you're really honest with yourself, you're not going to get it right. You're going to have a poor reaction to somebody cutting you off when you were driving, to somebody butting in line at somewhere. And I have my pet peeves. I really don't like when people cut in front of me, not driving. I just mean in general. That really bugs me. I want to say something. But we have to model that self-control. And we have to have some grace with our kids. They are a work in progress. They're not a finished product. So just imagine that your kid is playing, you know, he's playing with a friend, maybe a mom's day out or family member, and they start arguing over a toy. Now, what child doesn't argue over a toy? Most kids will argue over a toy, especially if it's a new one or it's a favorite. So instead of immediately grabbing the toy or yelling at them or saying, you know better than that, your child takes a deep breath. Counts to 10, depending on their age, takes a deep breath. Maybe you step in with a distractive, giving them a different toy or calling their name, getting them to look at you so that it's a brief distraction from that which was happening to them right there, because you're teaching them. And then praise your child when they demonstrate some self-control. You know, they might be upset and they may want to talk to you about it later, and you can. But the goal is to help them learn how to manage those feelings or how to be in control of their emotions when things aren't going their way. And the next would be, number two is compassion. Compassion, you know, we have a world that I see on the nightly news, daily news, any news, or many people full of not being compassionate. They'll steal, they'll hurt, they'll harm, they'll lie, they'll cheat. They'll make excuses. And our kids don't often see that modeled. But compassion is the ability to understand and empathize with others and their feelings. It's acknowledging that maybe other people have some feelings, not just your own. It's being other aware. So we want our kids to be self-aware. But God always talks about we love ourselves. That's not the problem. It's learning to love others as we love ourselves, esteeming others. And I know people say, well, if we esteem others better than ourselves and we're putting ourselves down, well, you don't have a good interpretation of what that actually means. Your natural tendency is going to make sure you get the bigger piece of the pie. That's a natural human instinct. Self-preservation, look out for self. Some children, and you're listening going, that's not my kid. You're right. Some kids do have an added measure of compassion. It's just in them. They would rather give their brother half of their sandwich, and they go hungry until the next meal. Does that make them better or worse than the other? No, it just means that God's giving you a peek into the personality God has made them to be, their hardwiring. But we want to encourage such acts of kindness, whether they're big or small, whether it's giving a toy, or it's helping a friend in need, or it's taking care of a pet, or teaching a child to be gentle with a pet. Teach your children to actively listen and validate other people's emotions. I did a podcast on community. We need community. And I have often said, and I wrote in Parenting Beyond the Rules, we are designed for and defined by our relationships. We need to have people that we can externally say things to. Not everybody's an external processor, but the ability to speak about what's going on when you're struggling or walking through a trial, with somebody else, they don't need to fix your problems. But in some ways, it helps them kind of process all of their own emotions. And you're sort of the sounding board. Maybe you've heard of that before. But we want our children to be that kind of a friend for others. And we want to teach them to look for those kind of friends that know how to give and take. Now, depending on the child's age, obviously, is going to be a factor. Little ones don't have that ability. Middle schoolers are learning more. Teens absolutely have that capacity. We also want to teach our kids when others are being kind to be full of compassion. Sometimes I would teach my children, hey, they must be having a really bad day. Something might be going on that you don't see, and they're acting out in this manner. So don't be quick to judge. Be quick to listen. Ask them questions. Hey, are you okay? I saw how you snapped at so-and-so. I noticed how you just got really angry and threw something. What's going on? People are dying, craving to be heard, to be listened to, because nobody's listening. Everybody's talking. Social media, everybody has all this advice, and nobody's listening. We're just consumers of other people's stuff, and nobody is asking us. When Tom and I were going through our struggle with healing from, I think I shared this a bit ago, we had both had some surgeries together, and so we were both down. And I was amazed and very humbled by the fact of how many people stepped in our lives because they put themselves in our shoes. They thought about what it was like to try for me to walk when I wasn't able to walk around. They thought about my husband when he wasn't able to lift, what that must be like. And the offers of help, the offers of food, the actions, not just offers, but serving, showing up, entering in. We want our kids to have that kind of compassion, and we have to foster empathy. That's how it works. You know, your child notices maybe a friend that's sitting alone or a child that's not standing on the edge of a playground, not really engaged with anyone, but the other kids are all running around playing tag. Teach your children to go up and ask them to join. Teach your children to walk up and say hello. I know we have this massive concern with stranger danger. I get that. But if you're right there with them, you can teach them that ability to think about others and bring them in. See, compassion and having compassion, it not only benefits others, but it honestly brings real joy and fulfillment to our own lives. We can make someone feel seen and heard, and our kids desperately want to be seen and heard. Honestly, that's why so many are acting up and acting out. They're not seen. They're not heard. Not in their home, not by you, not in their schools, not by others. And it gets frustrating. But we can change that. Your child can change that. And you can change that because you're laying the foundation within your kid to have self-control and compassion. And next would be collaboration. You know, teamwork gets a lot done. You know, there's a saying, if you want to do something fast, do it alone. But if you want to do something great, do it together. And that's true. Doing great things takes a team. The ministry, the Connie Albers here, we have and Equipped to Be, I couldn't do it without others. People sticking with a hand saying, hey, let me help you with this. Or, hey, I'm doing that. Or the people who work on the site, the people who help me get the show produced. It's not possible without their help. And we have to collaborate, asking others for their ideas. We think differently, and when we teach our children to respect the fact that other people have ideas and it might be different from theirs, and that's okay, we are laying an important foundation on our children that sets them up to be very equipped in high school and college, in group projects, as well as, you know, working with others. Again, we want our children to learn how to collaborate with other ideas, to have this great thing of when somebody shares an idea, not to be the first person to say, well, that won't work. Oh, that's a silly idea. Oh, we can't do that. There is a place and a time for the naysaying. You know, you have to whittle things down sometimes. But in the collaborative phase, you throw all the ideas out there. When you teach your children to work on a group project and they start seeing the strengths of others, maybe some in your group are very good at decision-making. Come on, guys, let's go build a fort. Now, that's obviously with their little. Come on, guys, let's go do this. Or one just does something and the others just follow. That's collaboration. That's looking around at others, and then you can be teaching them quiet, separately, alone. Hey, did you know this characteristic? Did you notice that? And don't sit there and say, well, you should be more like that. Parents, I implore you to get to know the child you have and parent that one. Not the one that you wish you had or the one that you think you know, because we all miss the mark. We don't have everything to do everything. We don't have all the abilities and capabilities and knowledge to do all that there is. We need people. We are created for community, relationships, and defined by those relationships. So you want to teach your children how to build on those relationships. And I think I've got a couple episodes. I'll put those in the show notes for you. But when we teach our children to collaborate effectively, it achieves better results. It's the knowledge that we can do something when we all put our minds to it. We can affect change, positive change. And we need to teach that to our children. The other part of teaching your children, not just to be well-rounded, but to be successful in life in general, and these attributes and these values and characteristics, and that's consistency. Consistency is fulfilling the habit, achieving the goal, right? It's just bottom line. You want to instill that your children have certain habits. Now, for some of you, it's your kids get up, they make their bed, you have breakfast, you have quiet time, you establish a rhythm and routine, you have a habit of putting away your clothes before you go to bed, you have a habit of laying your clothes out the night before. Whatever the habits that you are instilling in your kids that's important for your family, this is also an important characteristic. Because not everybody has the same habits. But when we teach our children to think critically about time, to think critically about the money and how they're going to spend the money or what work they're going to do to earn the money, and that they have to stick to it. Long ago, I still say, you're going to get tired. Your kids are going to, you're not going to be consistent. And you need to realize that you're going to get tired and you can rest, but you can't quit. Your kids rely on you. They're counting on you to help them learn. You help them learn their bedtime ritual. So it becomes conditioned in your mind. We do this, then we do this, then we do this. Okay? And your kids are like, okay, mom. Okay, dad, we're going to do this and this and this. Those are habits you're building in. Yeah, there can be flexibility because we don't want to be too strict and rigid, which is why I wrote Parenting Beyond the Rules. I saw too many parents with all their rules and I saw how their kids rebelled. We have to have flexibility. Consistency doesn't mean not being adaptable. Consistency just means that is a characteristic that you're known for. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. If this is going to be our bedtime routine, this is going to be our bedtime routine or our wake up routine or our school routine. It helps our kids face and it encourages them to keep pressing on when the challenges get difficult, when it's more than they can do or it's harder than they expected. So like if your child, you know, wants to set a goal, say to improve their grades, that's always a big one. Okay, bring your math grade up. Instead of studying like sporadically, you help them set a consistent time every day where they work on 1, 2, 5, 10 problems every day, every day, every day. Remember, I started this with saying that self-control is like a muscle. Well, that's the same with consistency. To achieve the goals, we have to consistently be working towards whatever those are. So mom, dad, the things that you're trying to instill in your children, the morals, the values, the character qualities, you just want to practice them daily as you go about your way, here and there a little. Not here and then maybe next week and then, oh, I totally forgot. Oh, it's time to get back on that. It's a part of who you are and what you do. When we do practice consistency, it reinforces the importance of perseverance and dedication, kind of like some of the other characteristics. And the fifth C is celebration. I said this is the one that I see so many families fall short on and our population in general. We're so fast to accomplish something and move on. What's next? What's not? Okay, well, you did that yesterday. Well, what about tomorrow? What are you working on tomorrow? I counsel and I coach so many parents that they're very driven. And the child can no sooner get an A in algebra and the parent is like, okay, well, you got to top that. Or they get on junior varsity basketball and the parents like, okay, now what do we need to get to varsity? I mean, there has to be a moment of pausing. There has to be. Your kids need, and frankly, I think you need, a moment where you can celebrate a victory, a success, an accomplishment. Your child's been practicing piano for months and now comes a recital and they did it. Maybe they didn't do it perfectly, but they conquered their fear of performing. They conquered their fear of even trying. That's worth celebrating. It doesn't have to be perfect to celebrate. It doesn't have to be magnanimous in order to get a well done. It can be small. Good job. We have so many little moments in our family, from our little grandbabies to our adult kids. Yeah, some are bigger accomplishments. They were harder to reach than the others, but that didn't discount the fact that they stuck to it and they reached another milestone, kind of like what we're having with Equipped to Be. Am I doing everything I can possibly do? Yeah. Is it everything that I should be doing? No. And think about that for a second. There's so many things I want to do here at Equipped to Be. So many different things that I have learned that I need to be doing, but I'm limited. I'm limited by time. I'm limited by talent. I don't have all the talents. I'm limited by resources. Because I can't do everything I should be doing, I have to celebrate that I am doing my best to come here every week and bring you Equipped to Be and bring you the best that I can bring you with what I have. And that's what we have to celebrate in our families. You know, a little bit of affirmation, acceptance, acknowledgement, appreciation, boy, that goes a long, long way. And without it, we get defeated and deflected and discouraged. And we don't want our children to be like that. So we have to model those celebrations. My children knew I was their greatest cheerleader. They knew that even if they lost a game, if they didn't do well, if they didn't get whatever it was they were working towards, I was still going to be saying, great job. I know you gave it your best. And that's all God asks of. And whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Are you teaching your children to do everything they can to the best of their ability for the Lord? So that's why I really don't stress out, because whether I have one listener, which gratefully we don't, or I have millions, I'm still going to prepare and I'm still going to bring my best. I'm going to prepare for this show. I want it to be of value and quality to your lives. So I don't want to blather on and on about nothing. That's not what this show is. It's not an entertainment show. I want to help you strengthen your family so you can withstand the chaos that's surrounding you. Start celebrating. Start celebrating the little things. I know we celebrate when our kids walk. We celebrate when our kids get potty trained. We celebrate when they graduate or go into kindergarten or they finish middle school and they go to high school. We celebrate big things, but what about the little things? You know, I know you worked really hard to get a B in algebra. I know that was really hard. Well done. I'm proud of you. Or I know that that kid has really been bugging you and taunting you, but I noticed that you're using self-control, that you're not giving it back the way they give it to you, that you're walking away, that you're showing kindness, that you're being filled with compassion. Celebrate. And it doesn't have to be big. It can be just a special little meal, one of their favorite meals. It can be just a personal note. It can be an icon. It can be anything that just acknowledges that, hey, I see what you did and it's worthy of celebration. There's always time for correction. I did do a session on, I'll probably throw it in the show notes. I did a session on correction versus criticism. We all need correction, right? And there is a time to correct your kids when they're misbehaving. But we don't want to criticize, we want to correct. And it's not always going to be gentle. I'm sorry, that's a whole nother topic on this gentle parenting movement. I think it's misleading a lot of parents, and I think it's hurting a lot of kids. Everything isn't gentle. Things happen. Things are difficult. Children do act up. Children do disobey. Children do rebellious actions. They hurt or harm other people. Sometimes we do have to say, no, that's not okay. Or I noticed you didn't react that time. You kept your mouth shut. You turned and walked away. All those things matter when we're parenting our children. When we think about, you're going to turn the tassel and those children are going to leave your home sooner than later. And I know, because when people would tell me, when women would say, oh, honey, just enjoy those days, they don't last forever. I'd say, well, come to my house then. Because right now, a day is lasting a week. So I don't ever say, oh, don't blink. Because sometimes we just need a blink. Sometimes we just need a pause and we need a break. So I totally get that. But you do want to be thinking about what the end in mind is, what's going to happen when that child leaves the home. What characteristics, what values, what personality, what skill sets do you want them to have that you want them to have at least partially mastered before they enter the next season of life? When you think about that and you bring it all the way back to when they're little, you realize I am building something here. I am teaching my children in the way they should go. Why? So when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now that's talking about a relationship with the Lord, but it is actually appropriate in all manner of life. That same principle, teach our children not to lie, teach our children not to steal, teach our children not to hurt or harm other people, not to be deceptive, not to be malice, not to be gossips, not to lie, not to hurt or harm other people for fun or because you think they deserve it. You got to model that because our kids are watching. And what are they watching? And what are they learning? So I just want to say, it's natural for us to want to see immediate results. I get it. And I know that I'm sitting here from a different perspective because I've already raised 5 kids and we have grandbabies now. Little ones, real little ones. And I've also worked with kids for over 30 years. I've heard so many stories from kids and from parents. So I want to speak to that. It's natural that you want to see results. There's a sense of, hey, I'm doing something right when you do. It makes you feel like, okay, I'm not such a bad parent or grandparent. And we want to witness our children embracing those characteristics that we're so diligently trying to teach day in and day out. We want to see them do it effortlessly. It does something good for our hearts. There's a sense of validation to that. However, just like a little flower, it needs time to bloom. It takes time. It takes nurturing. It takes water. It takes a little bit of fertilizer. It needs the right environment for that to happen. It needs some guidance. So teaching self-control is a means of gently guiding them through the moments when they're frustrated and impulsive. And it's offering that support when they need to be reassured that things are going to be okay just because they didn't get it, what they wanted. But let's not forget the importance of where we're going, the ebbs and flows of parenting. And let's just remember to give yourself some grace. If you're not putting in the effort and you're expecting something and you're not teaching or you're not actually helping your child to work through some issues, that's a different story. But if you're putting in the effort and you're not seeing the results right now, just give yourself permission to be discouraged. But also to say, tomorrow's another day. God's mercies are new every morning. As we walk through this beautiful chaos and of parenting and the busyness of life and the hustle and bustle and the endless to-do list, let's just keep remembering that we're nurturing our children's growth in self-control, compassion, collaboration, consistency, and celebration. And that, my friend, takes time and patience. I'm so glad that you've tuned in to this episode of Equipped to Be. We're glad that you're here, and we'll see you next week. Well, that wraps up this episode of Equipped to Be. If you enjoyed this show, please share it with a friend or family member and hit subscribe so you don't miss a show. And thank you again for joining me. Remember that we are equipped for every season of life.